League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. What a great night it is to be talking your game, the world's game. And our thanks here in this first hour to the Texas Children's Hospital certainly is very appropriate because this is Kick Childhood Cancer Month, and there's all kinds of initiatives going on around the country, including Major League Soccer. Thursday, Freddie Reyes and I will be going down with a bag of soccer balls to hand them out to some of the young patients who have become, quite frankly, incredible heroes to all of us. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. I've got a show for you tonight, and I'm certainly excited about all our guests. So let me run down who the guests are tonight. We got U.S. men's national team coach Dave Sarakin ahead of the U.S. taking on Colombia on the 11th, and then they will take on Peru. So they're going to play two World Cup teams, South American competition. We'll talk to Dave Sarakin about this team, about bringing back Michael Bradley, which has created, in some circles, an uproar, but I think it's actually makes a lot of sense to bring him back. And if you disagree with me, you can call me at 713-780-3776. We also had today the Champions League, and Manchester City left it late. David Silva would pull out the game's game winner at the end of this match here.
Whipped in, and David Silva's there for City, and he scores! Inside the last 4 minutes, Manchester City ahead!
Steve Birnbaum of DC United, he will be on the program. He's a center back. Now look, Steve Birnbaum has gone through the dark times at RFK Stadium when only a couple thousand fans were going to games, to now playing with Wayne Rooney, and playing in a brand new stadium in Audi Field. And right now, DC United is ripping it up to get into the playoffs. And if they get into the playoffs, they are going to be a dangerous animal to deal with. They got a wonderful front four. They got a goalkeeper that can win you games in Bill Hamid. They've got a solidified back four now and some good balance in midfield. So this is a team to keep an eye on. Steve Birnbaum tonight will talk to us about what Wayne Rooney's effect has been, both inside the locker room and in public for DC United. It's an interview you're not going to want to miss. We'll do that one at the end of this first hour here. And then former Dynamo, Will Bruun. 67 goals in Major League Soccer, spent 6 years here. I'm going to ask him tonight about the success of Mauro Manotas. I'm going to ask him about how much pressure there is in Seattle playing in front of these monster crowds. And I'm going to ask him a little bit about what got them going. And we'll also ask him if he was surprised when Clint Dempsey decided to retire midseason, because he was Dempsey's roommate on the road. So a lot to talk about here tonight. 713-780-3776. We can also talk about what was the best game on the weekend. The Premier League, it was a 1-1 draw between Liverpool and Chelsea. Daniel Sturridge tying things up late for Liverpool.
On the right-hand side, here's Shaqiri, Daniel Sturridge, with the curve! Oh, what a goal! Absolutely sensational! A 50th goal for Daniel Sturridge in the red of Liverpool.
And then the Houston Dynamo capped off a wonderful week. The Dynamo winning the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup on Wednesday. They turn it around. Manager Wilmer Cabrera decides to make six changes, giving some other people opportunity against San Jose. They're down 2-0. They bring on Ramel Kyoto, Albert Elise. The game absolutely changes 180 degrees, and it would start with a historic goal from Mauro Minotas.
Garson was down at the USL affiliate, RGV. Oh, it's a nice threaded ball. It's Minotas. Shot the goal. Omar Minotas. He has just become Houston Dynamo regular season MLS all-time leading goal scorer with 15.
15 goals in a regular season, besting the numbers of Kubo Torres on 14. And, you know, you're talking about a stable of strikers in Dynamo history. That includes Brian Ching and also Will Bruin. So, spectacular there. We also had an upset today. Well, some would call it an upset. CSKA Moscow, 1-0 winners today over Real Madrid.
On the bench, Dean, given that they're missing so many players, Cross, that's a poor ball.
And it's 1-0 to CSKA Moscow.
And that's how it would end. So let's get your calls in tonight. It's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Anything Champions League. So Manchester United fans, your thoughts on today's 0-0 draw with Valencia. Is Jose Mourinho going to survive now? Now, there's all kinds of speculation as to if he could be replaced in the next week, 2 weeks, tomorrow, who knows? Do you think it's time for Jose Mourinho to go, Manchester United fan? And any of you guys in the Houston Red Army that are the local supporters group here started by Tom Clare, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Manchester United. 713-780-3776. Before we get to phone calls, 713-780-3776, let's hear what Jose Mourinho himself had to say after this. First are some of the general comments on playing Valencia in the Champions League and getting a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, a bit disappointed because I thought the performance was good enough to win the game. But I accept the result. We didn't have many chances to win it. We had a few. We hit the post. We tried. With the individual performance levels that we have in this moment in our attacking players, I knew that wouldn't be beautiful. But we did enough to score a goal and to win the game. Especially the balance the team had and the effort and the cohesion to stop a very good counter-attack team. We did that very well.
There was a lot more urgency in the second half.
So that's Jose Mourinho. Then in the second half, it was kind of a game of two halves here, but listen very carefully to what Jose Mourinho does here because he's going to throw some people under the bus here. Listen to this.
I think it's normal after a couple of bad results. I think it's normal the confidence level go down. To play against a good team like Valencia is not obviously an easy one. And I think probably in the first half there was a mixture of desire to win, fear to lose. In the second half was more, and the team tried even more. But the effort was something that I demand. And when you don't have special qualities, you cannot ask for special things, but commitment, effort, you can demand, and the players, they answer well.
You've got Juventus in the next couple of games.
You don't have special qualities, so you don't get special things. So let me just backtrack here. That was obviously a shot at his players. And he basically said Manchester United as a team, individuals don't have special qualities. They have effort, but they don't have special qualities. So he's talking about Romelu Lukaku. He's talking about Anthony Martial. He's talking about Marcus Rashford. He's talking about Valencia. So Jose Mourinho just basically said that he doesn't have any players with special qualities. Now, I'm sure he doesn't mean that overall, but it's also an excuse. And how much do the players have in this whole thing? I just think there's been a dark cloud over this team. And the minute he was hired, you heard me on this show. This is not going to look good. And it just does not seem the correct fit. This is like putting a square into a round peg. It's not going to work. And it hasn't. And it just has been so negative. And to see Mourinho wrestling in the mud with, you know, a 24-year-old midfielder, Paul Pogba. And look, Pogba's got a piece in this too. But it's up to a manager that's over 50 years of age not to be on the level of a young player, which just tells me he's not good at dealing and managing young players. I'd like your thoughts. Manchester United fans, 713-780-3776. Manchester City now and Liverpool tied at 19 at top the Premier League. Chelsea at 17, Spurs at 15, Arsenal at 15 as well. 713-780-3776. The number to call in here tonight. Also, Michael Bradley coming back to the national team has been a bit polarizing. Why is it that people, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that still carry a little bit of angst around Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore and the lack of qualifying for the World Cup in Russia. But do you not get the veteran mix with young players and what happens organically there and that integration of some older players now is very important maybe at this phase for Dave Sarakin and the U.S. men's national team. Are you okay with Bradley being back? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. You can also hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can also hit us up over there. Throughout the show. Instagram also, Glenn Davis Sock. We put some interesting behind-the-scenes things up there as well. All right, so there are reports also now that Zinedine Zidane contacted Jose Mourinho, I guess apparently to let it be known that, you know, United had contacted Zidane. This is from a UK newspaper. Mourinho refused to comment. The claim that was that Zidane called Mourinho to clarify suggestions he had been lined up for the job. And Mourinho just said basically, quote, ask the guy behind. He wrote it. Ask him. And this was from a Monday press conference. More on that, I think, is beginning to come out now. Barcelona president Josep Maria Bartomeu has said the door is always open for a return from Pep Guardiola and that, quite frankly, Pep can return anytime he likes. Quote, he's a genius. And he has the doors of his house open whenever he wants, said Bartomeu. Bartomeu then went on to say that he read the other day that Guardiola would like to take over their youth development system, the famed La Masia. He was offered that position before heading on to Bayern Munich after his remarkable, I believe it was 4 years at Barcelona, because he mentioned back in 2012 that he was tired of the pressure. Interesting. And you could see it, I think. I think you could see Pep Guardiola one day at a certain time in his career heading up that youth system because of his connection to it, because of coming through it, because of the connection to Johan Cruyff. The Premier League. Now, if you didn't watch Chelsea and Liverpool this weekend, it was such a spectacular, gripping game. You couldn't take your eyes off this. And by the way, the Liverpool supporters group, they did their last match over at the Gorgeous Gale over in West University. Remember, we did our World Cup shows over there and had a wonderful time there. Apparently, a problem with the lease over there. But that was the last ever Liverpool game there. They're going to move. The supporters group is now going to be at a new venture that Peter and company are going to have called O'Connor's, which is out on I-10. And we'll tell you more about that in the future. But this was a game you couldn't take your eyes off. 1-1 draw. Epic entertainment. Up and down. Both teams attacking like two prize fighters. Both teams capable of just breaking out so quickly. You know, Chelsea through Hazard and Willian. Liverpool through that front three. Remarkable. It was an epic game. It was one you could not take your eyes off. Sturridge got the late equalizer, one for the memory books. It was a breathtaking match. For me, the best match of the Premier League season. Would you agree with that? Then there was West Ham, Manchester United. West Ham United had not won a game. And they have a good performance. This was all overshadowed by Jose Mourinho and the Paul Pogba escapades. But West Ham, 2 weeks ago at the bottom of the Premier League, was 0 points. So Manuel Pellegrini, Hammers fans, you get some respect on this one. But at what point is what United is doing now called an embarrassment? I mean, you got former players weighing in now. This whole childish behavior between Mourinho and Pogba getting so old, it's shameful, frankly. Why is that the most talked about thing about this team? And the players have a piece in this, too. Who would you have leave first, Manchester United fan? Would it be Jose Mourinho? Would it be Ed Woodward, chairman? Or would it be Paul Pogba? Who do you want to leave first to clean this mess up at United? Jose Mourinho, chairman Ed Woodward, or Paul Pogba? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Now, if you were amongst the fans at BBVA Compass Stadium this past weekend, Wilmer Cabrera put out what was a lineup that had 6 changes. That's a lot of changes. So let's have some Dynamo real talk here. What is the verdict? So Memo Rodriguez, Ronaldo Peña, Kevin Garcia, Darwin Serén, AJ De La Garza, Adam Lundqvist all got starts in this game. So let's talk about each one of these players individually, because I think we need to. Because you saw in crystal clear 4K technology, Tranquility Home Systems, you saw what the Dynamo are with Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto and what they are without Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto. It is a team based on those two men and a wide game. So Memo Rodriguez, I was very interested to see him in a starting role again. He's had the opportunity a couple times. For me, not impactful enough. He's been more impactful off the bench. I thought that this was a big opportunity for Memo. But for me, not impactful enough. Ronaldo Peña. All right, got a start, but got a start in a wide area. I don't think that's his best place. He's a worker for sure. We know that. But I think in MLS right now, it's tough out wide for him at this level. Could that change? Potentially. But when you look at it in the context of who he's replacing, Albert Elise, this is where you have to think about these things. Kevin Garcia, center back. I don't think the Dynamo were tested really a lot. I was a little disappointed, to be fair, that the Dynamo conceded 2 goals. At first, I thought the penalty was soft. Second look, you'll see a center back that's flat-footed, not moving his feet, and stabs in, and that's how you get caught. And that was Fuenmayor. Now, maybe he was a bit exhausted because he went the full 90 minutes and played very well on Wednesday against Philadelphia. Garcia and Fuenmayor got caught a little bit napping on the second goal, which was a cross that came in. And I think Wondolowski got a little bit of a jump on both those two, and that's why it was kind of emergency defending from Fuenmayor, and then he obviously committed the own goal there. AJ De La Garza, great to see him make the journey back and get his first game and get 90 minutes in. Adam Lundqvist, Dynamo made a big investment in the Swede, and it does take time. We've seen it for some players to really adjust to Major League Soccer. Others we've seen come in and just hit full stride here. Biggest thing to me was that his service in the final third lacked a little bit. Then comes the second half, and then Ramel Kyoto gets the energy going. Albert Elise gets it going, and it's all Houston Dynamo, and it's a wonderful, spectacular, exciting 3-goal comeback. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We'll take phone calls at 713-780-3776. But Wilmer Cabrera was certainly assessing players in this game. He made it clear that the team is going to need 2 rosters now, because to the champion goes the spoils. You're in the CONCACAF Champions League, and I can't wait for international soccer to come back to Houston. Cabrera went on to say they got to make moves in the January transfer window because the first CONCACAF Champions League match will be at the end of February. Number of Dynamo players getting called up. They will be in Seattle on Monday to take on the Seattle Sounders, who are in, and they need the 3 points to continue to solidify their position to make the playoffs. And let's have a quick moment here for the Texas Children's Hospital. At Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Think about that, right here in Houston, down in the medical center. Over 190 physicians and scientists. They've got 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. And this is a great month to be aware of all this. Texas Children's Hospital, not-for-profit, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community, and they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. They are our first hour presenting sponsor. We could not do it without Texas Children's Hospital. Raphael, you will be first up when we come back. 713-780-3776. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
With Kyoto Elise coming on the field here. Kyoto. Torba trying to get through a maze of bodies. Martinez squeezed it in. It's all tied up. Tomas Martinez.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you were down at the Dynamo Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup win, or if you were part of that comeback in the second half, it was good times for the Houston Dynamo this past week. Back to reality now. It's Major League Soccer against Seattle in Seattle on Monday. We'll have that on the Cube for you, Eddie Robinson and I. Let's go to the phone lines and Raphael. Raphael, what do you got?
Hey, Glenn, I just wanted to talk about what you were talking about, like Jose Mourinho or Pogba or Ed Woodward, and I think that the most infectious person is probably Mourinho. Just based on team selection alone, I don't feel like what he's putting out there is the best for United, and I think that we saw at the World Cup that, you know, Pogba's a great player, and, you know, unfortunately, Ed Woodward isn't necessarily too far behind Mourinho, but I just feel like it's time for him to go. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's been, like I said, I mean, earlier in the show, and I said this many months when he was hired years ago, that he's not the right fit. I just don't think he's the right fit. Now, my question to you today, when you watched this game, was this a team playing for their manager? I just thought the ball movement was so methodical. The circulation of the ball didn't leave their feet quickly. And as much as we want to talk about the Mourinho effect, I do think he's negative. I think he's pessimistic. I think that's wearing on the players. I mean, look at where Alexis Sanchez is. I mean, this guy's on 500,000 pounds a week, some ridiculous monies. And the guy looks a shadow of himself. And maybe he never was the right fit for Manchester United. But my point is these attacking players, they just don't seem energized. They don't seem excited. They don't seem like they're playing for the coach. The coach is wrestling in the mud with a 24-year-old in Pogba, who is the face of the team, no question. He's an Adidas guy. So who do you have lined up? I mean, I guess people are saying Zidane. I wonder what the role of some of the former great players like Orion Giggs and the Neville brothers and Paul Scholes. Would these guys ever get back involved with the club? That was something that was brought up to me by Tom Clare, the noted Manchester United author. So, you know, what did you think about their performance today? What did you think about their performance against West Ham United? I mean, it's dark times right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Giggs, I mean, he waited his turn. He tried to be in line, but they went a different direction, which, I mean, I kind of understand because he'd never been a first-team manager before, and, you know, now he's trying to earn his stripes. And today was, I unfortunately didn't get to watch the whole game today, but, you know, Valencia's a good side, but this weekend, West Ham...
Well, hold on a second. Well, Valencia's 14th in La Liga. And yes, they are a good side, and they do have talented players. They've drawn a number of games in La Liga. But, you know, it's not the upper echelon of La Liga. So, you know, all of a sudden, is Manchester United lowering their bar of standards now? You know, are they going to condition this as a... You know, we can say, hey, this was a good draw today if we want.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, but I don't... Me, as a United fan, I don't think that we should... Say this is a,
I'm
a
just
good
saying
draw.
You can look at any game you want and you can turn it into whatever you want. You could say shoulda, woulda, coulda. We missed six chances and it was a bad referee's decision. This is not a healthy soccer team. No matter they got a nil-nil draw today. There's problems. And I mean the manager threw the team under the bus. We're going to play that soundbite again, but he basically said there's no special players on this team after this game today.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I don't think Sanchez has been a player for United since he got here. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know why Marin Fellaini is still on the team. And, you know, you have all these – I mean, at the weekend he played McTominay at center back. I mean, what are we doing? So
I don't know. Maybe Jose Mourinho's sabotaging it so he can, you know, he can – get out of the contract. Get fired.
I mean, it could be, but I don't... You know, it kind of happens every club he goes to. He has one or two good years, and then it's just kind of a cancer. So
yeah, I'm wondering if this time, though, it's bigger. I'm wondering if this time he's outdated now with younger players. He didn't all of a sudden turn into a bad manager. But, boy, he is, to me, just from the outside. And, look, we're not even close to being on the inside here. But he certainly, with the things he says, he is dark, he is pessimistic. He was pessimistic in preseason. He didn't give anybody anything to hope for. He didn't come out and say, you know, we're going to win the Premier League title. He didn't set the bar. You know, there's lots of managers who don't want to set the bar or set it low because they want to achieve. You know, and no question, United... with their signings, we're not going to be competing this year against Liverpool and Manchester City and potentially Chelsea. But it's dark.
What do you think about Woodward? I mean, so to me, Woodward almost takes as much of the blame as Mourinho. I mean, what do you think about...
Oh, I think you can always go to the top. Absolutely. I mean, somebody hired Jose Mourinho. Somebody brought these players on. There's accountability to go all around. I think the biggest thing for me is he just never seemed the fit as a manager for a club like Manchester United that does base their game on an attacking style of play. I mean, to be watching a game at Old Trafford sitting back against Valencia, to me, is disturbing. That's all I can say, Raphael. Thank you very much for the phone call, by the way.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a good night.
All right. Costa Din on Facebook Live says, I'll be the happiest person if Pep reconsiders and comes back to Barca. Sharif Zabayos says, what's up, Glenn? What's up, Sharif? Copa Libertadores quarterfinal. First leg 0-0. Second leg, I believe it's over now. River Plate probably has gotten a result 3-1 over Independiente. They advance to the semifinals. Boca and Cruzeiro tomorrow. These are great games to watch. I got to figure out. I've had a lot of stuff going on with my AT&T system. All of a sudden, I can't get BN Sports. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I got to get that figured out because I want to see that Boca Cruzeiro game. If anybody's got some insight onto that or into that, 713 780-3776. All right, let's get hyped here, and let's relive the Dynamo 3 goals in the second half. Down 2-0 at halftime to the San Jose Earthquakes. By the way, San Jose, only 4 wins the entire season. 23rd out of 23 teams in Major League Soccer. They got real problems. They were holding on to a 2-0 lead. The Dynamo and Wilmer Cabrera, he brings on Albert Elias and Ramel Kyoto. This thing changes 180 degrees. And I'm telling you, you felt the Dynamo were going to come back and win this 3-2. Starting with goal number one, Mauro Minotas.
Garson was down at the USL affiliate, RGV. Oh, it's a nice threaded ball. It's Minotas, shot the goal! Oh, Mauro Minotas! He has just become the Houston Dynamo regular season MLS all-time leading goal scorer with 15.
And then Tomas Martinez, who had a wonderful week. Tomas doing a tremendous amount of work without the ball against the Philadelphia Union. He squeezes in goal number two. San Jose defender leaving a little bit of space at the near post, and that's where Martinez put it.
With Kyoto, Elise coming on the field here. Kyoto. Torbell trying to get through a maze of bodies. Martinez squeezed it in. It's all tied up. Tomas Martinez.
And then an own goal, Ramel Kyoto would actually stuff this in. Not an own goal, but it was a cross from Albert Elise that gets pushed away by Andrew Tarbell in goal for San Jose. Pushes it right into the path of Ramel Kyoto. Kyoto scores the game winner and then jumps in the crowd to celebrate.
Minotas with a big touch. He's got Kyoto at the far post. He's going to drive it in. It's pounded away. Kyoto!
And my apologies, it was Mauro Minotas who got the delivery in after a long touch towards the end line. And good drama. It was exciting. It was spectacular. It was a great comeback and something to be taken away from a wonderful week for the Dynamo. Now they'll take on the Seattle Sounders. 3 out of their last 4 will be on the road to end the year, and the competition is stiff. It's the LA Galaxy, it's LAFC, and 2 games against Seattle. So the Dynamo actually could do some damage to their last year's playoff opponent in their attempt to get into the MLS playoffs. So these games to finish the year out, to me, and the Dynamo, by the way, aren't mathematically out of it, but it's going to take a lot. But there's a lot for me to see in these final games. Professionalism, players that want to remain here. There's no doubt there are going to be some players that will go. Matt Jordan has already said that they have to do a lot with the roster. Wilmer Cabrera has also said, in his words, we need 2 rosters, one for MLS and one for the CONCACAF Champions League. And that's the beautiful thing. International competition is going to come back to BBVA Compass Stadium. We're going to have the opportunity now to entertain teams from Central America, entertain teams from Mexico, and you will get unique fans in that stadium that can be won over and turned into Dynamo fans. It's been some time since we've had an international competition, and with as international as the roster is for the Dynamo, I think this is a significant time period here because still trying to get more fans in the seats down at BBVA Compass Stadium. I'm going to bring Victor Ariza on now, too. I think, Victor, and you were down at City Hall today. Great celebration for the Dynamo down there. They were with the trophy with Mayor Sylvester Turner and also with City Council down there. But what has me very excited is we now know that come in a couple short months, actually, the end of February, it's international competition for the Houston Dynamo. They have a great history of international competition. We haven't had it in a while in a meaningful competition, and it can come back, and it's a real opportunity.
It is, and you know, it's still a big question because we don't know what kind of competition they're going to get. Are they going to get one of the tougher teams, maybe somebody out of Mexico or Costa Rica, or are they going to get maybe a Caribbean team, somebody that's much easier, maybe a Central American team like a Panamanian team that'll be more accessible. And it's going to test them because I mean, let's face it, they're going to have to start their season probably mid-February, late February, where they're going to have to, you know, enter preseason earlier. They're going to have to manage, like Wilmer Cabrera said, two rosters. And I think what he means by that is putting the starters in the CONCACAF Champions League and then, you know, what have you, either subs that you bring in over the off season, or, you know, possibly promoting players from RGV and playing them in the regular season, which is, you know, what we've seen some teams do that in MLS. And that's the challenge that has yet to be seen, and we're going to see how it reacts. You know, two things that kind of stuck out to me from City Hall today. One of the council members asked Chris Canetti, he's like, hey, you're paying these guys very well, right? Because, I mean, it's just a job that they made. And the other one, obviously, Sylvester Turner saying, you know, he wants to see every seat in BB Compass Stadium filled. So there you go. The mayor laying down the gauntlet. He wants everybody in Houston to be out there at BB Compass Stadium.
He certainly is. He is a very upbeat mayor, and I think everybody loves that about Sylvester Turner. But that was a nice moment for the Dynamo down at City Hall today. There is no question the offseason is going to be interesting. And, you know, Dynamo fans are expecting certain things. We've heard Wilmer Cabrera. We've heard Matt Jordan both say that there's going to be moves made. Wilmer, in fact, saying that, you know, we want to see some things happen in the January transfer window. And that means sooner rather than later. And then you have to retain the big three that are getting a lot of attention, and that's Kyoto, Minotas, and Elise. All three of those guys are getting attention from other clubs. That is confirmed. All right, we're going to take a break here. Before we go to break, I'll just give you a little bit of a reminder here. Bud Light, we thank them for their great support over the years. The friendship between Bud Light and Texas goes back over 30 years, ever since the first Bud Light rolled out at their Houston brewery. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. All special edition Texas packaging is brewed in Texas. Also, my thanks to the King's Court. That's the place to be. 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors, all your soccer watching desires. Go in there and say hello to Jay. And I got a little secret. Some of the best Indian food in the city. It is a winner. King's Court down in Edo. First hour presenting sponsor is the Texas Children's Hospital. We thank you for your support and what you do. We'll take a Bud Light break.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, how about a word for Texas Children's Hospital? They are leading cancer and hematology centers, the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. It's right here in Houston, down in the medical center. Over 190 physicians and scientists. Think about that. 46 laboratories and 200 active clinical trials. All of this dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. We're going down there Thursday. We got a bunch of soccer balls to deliver to some of these great, brave little warriors. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit. What that means is it means they rely on generous donations from our friends in the community. Hundreds of children every year diagnosed at TCH. It isn't a job. It's life for Texas. And when I go down there, it's children from Nigeria, children from Pasadena, children from Katy. It's all over the world. Central America, Mexico, you name it. They are affected. It does not discriminate. And that's why it's wonderful to think that Texas Children's is doing all these trials dedicated to finding cures and for childhood cancer and blood disorders. So that's just a reminder. Texas Children's Hospital, we thank you very much for everything that you do. As we come back to the show now, time now to bring on Steve Birnbaum, DC United center back, DC United surging right now in the new Audi Field. Wayne Rooney, a part of that team, leading them on and off the field. Here's my conversation with Steve Birnbaum. Well, Steve, outstanding season for you. You're going to appear for the 30th time against Chicago this coming weekend. At what point did you see the switch flip here for DC to go on this amazing run that you're driving yourselves hopefully into the playoffs here?
Yeah, it's kind of been a tale of two seasons. We started away on the road basically for the first, 4 months of the season, and it seemed like it was never going to end. And then all of a sudden, Audi Field opened up, and then Wayne Rooney came, and all of a sudden we just built up this momentum and started making some wins at home, and kind of just started running them off. And then all of a sudden we're kind of in the playoff race, and it just, it was a great feeling just knowing that, now we kind of hold our fate in our own hands. So it's been, I guess the switch you could say was when Audi Field opened and when Wayne came, because he changed our team drastically.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about him, because I want to get into your center back partnership with Frédéric Briant, but I also want to talk about the whole Wayne Rooney factor, because I think everybody from afar just says, man, how professional this guy has been on and off the field. So just maybe touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable what he's done for our team. Some of these guys come over from Europe and you're not sure if they're going to, work hard or what they want to do. And, he came in and wanted to play right away and was one to win. And that's what he brought to our locker room, a winning mentality. And he's honestly raised everyone's level of play this year. I think you've seen it in our attack. The chemistry that he has with Lucho Acosta right now is pretty unbelievable and has raised his level so much. You know, he's had so much potential these past couple of years, and Wayne's really brought it out of him. And our team needed that. And, it's just been a pretty cool feeling to, play alongside him. And you want to win for him because, he's one of the, all-time, great players that have ever played this game. So it's pretty cool.
He's DC United defender Steve Birnbaum. Okay, so when I look at Wayne Rooney and I look at Zlatan Ibrahimovic and, David Villa in New York, I think what we sometimes forget is that organically, now, every single guy on your team, when you go to a training session with him, like you said, your level is lifted. Your senses are higher now. And have you visibly seen or personally seen people's levels go up? I think we've seen that, certainly from the outside, but you're on the inside. You just see people's attitudes changing, work ethic changing, performance changing, simply because of one man.
Yeah, definitely. I think that you see it in training every day. Wayne comes out and trains with us, obviously, and it's competitive. It's competitive, and he's competitive, and he'll call you out if you're kind of slacking. So the level of our trainings have been unbelievable this year after Wayne came, because he holds you. He really holds you accountable, and like I said before, he just brings out the best in you. And he's a winner. And so when you're going up against him, me personally, I'm a center back, so I face him all the time in training. And, I get excited kind of going up against him because, I try and stop him, and it's a good feeling. But sometimes, obviously, he'll get the best of me. But, it's just one of those things where, one person can really change a locker room.
Steve, he's also just integrated Wayne Rooney just so wonderfully off the field as well. I mean, this is a guy to me that is 100% into DC United, helping grow the game in DC, helping grow MLS, willing to do the things off the field, it seems, as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty unbelievable when he came, in the beginning, and he didn't just, keep to himself or talk to a couple of the veteran guys or some of the big-time guys. He really spread his time around the locker room great, and still does, and has a relationship with every player in that locker room, and it's pretty impressive. Guys who are 35 to down to guys who are 18 on our team, so it's a great quality that he has. He's really down to earth, and just really personal, and a good guy just off the field. So I think that helps a lot, and you see it translate on the field.
I mean, in your case, playing with a legendary soccer player. It's got to be an incredible moment here. And not that you can sit there and think about that too much. You have a job to do. You're a professional soccer player, which you've earned. But on another hand, it's pretty spectacular that in your career, you're going to have been able to play with this legendary guy.
Yeah, if you would have asked me when I was in college a couple of years ago that I would be playing alongside him, I would have laughed at you. So it's a cool feeling, but at the end of the day, you know, after getting to know him, he's just another guy. And like you said, it's my job to perform and not really think about that, because we are on the same team, we're teammates. So it's just one of those things where you know, it is what it is now, and it's a pretty cool feeling though.
Now, look, you went through some dark times in D.C. too. I mean, I think this is why you can appreciate what's going on right now with the new stadium, with Wayne Rooney as your teammate, guys like Assad, Areola, all kinds of different guys on the team now. But, you know, there were some tough times at RFK and small crowds. And the fact that you've kind of gone through to this next level now with brand new stadium, Rooney, all these other things that are going on now, people talking about D.C. United. Do you pinch yourself sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a big credit to our organization for kind of, you know, knowing that we were in this rut and we needed to get a stadium in the center of D.C., which is huge. That's, you know, it obviously took a really long time to get it done, but, you know, our ownership group did a great job in finalizing it. And then, you know, signing a big-time guy like Wayne and all these other guys like Lucho, Yamil, Paul, they've all come in and done an amazing job. So I think it's more of a credit to, you know, the organization in general and our ownership group, because, you know, they've really tried to make an effort to make DC one of the stronger teams in the league again. And, you know, now I think that, you know, we have the backing of the ownership group. Guys are excited to be here and play for DC United. And now, when you come to the Audi Fields, it's a home field advantage, and I don't necessarily know if we had that back at RFK. So it's a good feeling walking out.
Yeah, and Major League Soccer is exploding, right? We got FC Cincinnati coming. That's going to be an unbelievable place to go travel and play. Nashville eventually is coming as well. You got all these different environments. I got to think these have to be some of the greatest times to be playing in Major League Soccer right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is my fifth year in the league, and it's grown tremendously in the 5 years. I mean, each year there's an influx of talent coming in from all over the world, and new stadiums being brought up, and the homegrown academy systems are flourishing right now. And it's just one of those things where I think soccer is, you know, it's kind of, you know, I guess just getting bigger in America and becoming one of the major sports. You know, we're having teams like Atlanta sell out with 70 to 80,000 people that get more at their games than the Falcons do. So it's pretty unbelievable to think about that. And it's honestly amazing to play in some of these stadiums.
All right, let's talk about the center back pairing with you, Steve. Steve Birnbaum joining us now, DC United center back. You and Frédéric Briand. Talk a little bit about that. Obviously, he's a 33-year-old Frenchman, a lot of experience. You're not a young guy anymore. You're a veteran now. I remember the times when they were talking about Steve Birnbaum as the young, promising guy, right? But you're a veteran now. So talk about the partnership with Frédéric and what you like about it.
Yeah, I think it's a good partnership. You know, it's obviously taken us a little bit of a time to get to know each other. Having him come in from New York the beginning of the season. So that's kind of the way it works with center back pairings. And you know, he's a big, strong, strong guy, and he's really strong in the tackle and good in the air, and he's good with his feet too, which is it's pretty impressive. He's got a wide range of passing, so we've got a good relationship right now, and we're just trying to continue it. Our goal is to not let any goals in every game, and you know, it starts with us and then Bill in the back. So that's it's fun times playing with him, and I'm excited for, you know, the next couple games to make the push to the playoffs.
How's Bill Hamid doing after going overseas for a while? And, you know, he's a big piece of DC United's obviously a great defending, but obviously it's a guy you know very well.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. He'll bail you out of some games. I think you saw it in our last game. And, you know, that's the save that he made in the first half is a game-changing save, because we could have gone into halftime at 1-1 or them being up 2-1. And you know, us being up 1-0 because of Bill's big save in the first half, kind of, you know, that's sometimes that's what we were missing in the beginning of the year or whenever. So it's game changers like that that keep us, that keeps me sleeping well at night to know Bill's back there.
Well, you got him on attack too, so that's got to be a nice feeling as a defender now that you got guys like Assad. Acosta is on fire right now. Areola's scoring goals. You got Wayne Rooney leaning. You got a front four right there that it's pretty fearsome there, and you got to feel like you can score goals at any time.
Oh yeah, and honestly, it's fun to watch from the back. These guys are playing at such a high level right now, and honestly, our job as a back four, or you know, the defensive midfielders even, is just to get the guys, the playmakers with the ball and let them do their thing, and we'll defend. You know, we'll take care of not letting any goals in, and they're going to do their work up top. And like I said, it's pretty enjoyable to watch them from the back.
Steve, we thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for giving us some insight into yourself and also DC United, and best of luck making that playoff push.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Steve Birnbaum, DC United center back. And a reminder here for the Texas Children's Hospital and Cancer and Hematology Centers. Largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists. We recently had on Dr. Dreyer. She was amazing, talking about all the differing laboratories and active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. We thank you for presenting sponsorship of the first hour, the Texas Children's Hospital. And right now, remember, Bud Light is brewed deep in the heart of Texas to be shared among friends all over Texas. Enjoy responsibly. AB, Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. All special edition Texas packaging is brewed in Texas. We will take an Advantage BMW break right now. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.